It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
All right, go, Jacob.
And welcome to the Virtual Bible Study for Thursday, July 4th, 2013. My name is Jacob. My father, Greg, Jacob, great friend. You almost missed the date there. It's an easy date to remember.
And because it is July 4th, we're remote tonight.
Yeah, we're doing something way different tonight. We haven't done this in a long time. We have done some weird remotes before, Jacob, but this is a new one, different to us. A whole bunch of us from the College View Church and some other brethren from across the state of Tennessee are camping at the Davy Crockett State Park in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. And so we have decided, at your suggestion, Jacob, to do a live remote.
And we are barely live.
Yeah, we're hanging on by a shoestring. We obviously are doing audio only tonight, so there's no video stream going to accompany our program tonight. But hopefully we got Jeff back running the board at the church building, and hopefully we are getting out. If you can send Jacob a note to chat room.
We're barely on the internet here where we are, but we are connected. And we've got some campers with us tonight that sit around the kitchen table here. Monty Overton is here. Monty has been on before. Monty, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jacob. It's good to be here.
And we have Gary Smalley from Jackson, Tennessee here. Gary.
Thank you, Jacob. Great to be with you tonight on Virtual Bible Study.
And my brother Joel is here. He's not near the microphone. We've got others listening.
And Josh Overton's here. Trent Haynes is here. Ricky Harris is here. We got a room full of people. So, Jake, we probably won't have to do very much.
I don't plan on talking.
Yeah.
All right, you had an interesting topic that you decided on tonight.
All right.
And it is a themed topic.
Yeah, it's obviously the 4th of July, and so we decided we would talk about pros and cons living in America, Jacob.
Okay.
I think there are both pros and cons, and I hope that we can discuss them with some observations that will be helpful to us all. The thing that I think is a potential is that we have so many blessings in the United States that we might allow our blessings become curses to us. So that's sort of the idea that we want to pursue in our discussion tonight. Earlier today, in fact, quite a bit earlier today, to our update list, we sent out some questions that we wanted to discuss. We always remind you, if you're not on our update list, you can be by sending us a message to questions@collegeview.com. Just put add me to the list and you will be there. And on Thursdays, you'll get a note about what our topic is going to be for discussion that evening with some questions for feedback. To our list today, we sent out these questions. Number one, what is what you believe to be the greatest blessing of living in the United States of America? Number two, what do you think are the greatest potential dangers of living here? And specifically, we asked you to address some of our strongly held cultural values that could be counterproductive to our spiritual well-being, like self-reliance, majority rule, and individual rights. And then finally, I thought we could discuss, I don't know how well this will go, but I thought it was a potential thing for discussion, to contrast this physical nation we live in with the eternal spiritual kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. So those are the questions we want to go to in our study tonight, Jacob.
All right.
We've got just a couple of emails. I'm out there, but it's pretty busy today with all kinds of activities. We got an email from our friend Chris in the U.K. Of course, it's not a holiday in the U.K.
No, it's
an anti-holiday in the U.K.
Try not to think about it today.
And so he's emailed us, and our faithful correspondent Chris from Atlanta has emailed us. And so we'll get those. We'd be glad to get your comments. We're trying best we can to watch our email if there's anything that comes in. We also have tentative connection to the chat room, and we'll try to watch your comments there. James, it looks like we're getting out.
I think we are.
If anybody said so,
I'm trying to get the feedback, but we're going to keep on going.
Okay. do you think are some of the greatest blessings of living in the United States of America? Well, Chris in Atlanta says, we live in a country that's relatively safe. We have freedom to worship without fear of being thrown in prison. We can share the gospel almost any time, almost anywhere we wish. And we live in a country that is one of the wealthiest in the world and offers most citizens an amazing way of life. I would agree those all seem to be great blessings that we enjoy. Let me skip down here. Chris from England said, now being a Brit, I'm not qualified to talk in specifics as I would only be using an outsider's point of view. But I'll start with general blessings of living in an advanced Western country, which some may take for granted and so could be overlooked. Sanitation and indoor plumbing so you don't need to deal with waste. Stay hygienic along with garbage trucks rarely coming by to take household refuse away. Thus able to prevent so many diseases prevalent in the third world country. Education, so that people have opportunities as well to read and communicate information with others. A certain level of affluence, meaning you have access to shelter, food, and other essentials. And stuff left over to help your fellow man where you live and abroad. The ability to go to a convenience store rather than have to grow your own food or raise it or hunt for it. Electricity. Or gas that allows you to cook your food or warm your houses at your whim. Medical care to prolong life, which we are more blessed with in this country as is free at a point of source compared to yours. Religious freedom, you can gather and worship in relative peace, freedom of speech, so you can, in theory, witness and proclaim the truth freely, not to mention transport links, the securities you have from law enforcement and the military, a democratic system to prevent dictatorships happening, among other things your fellow countrymen who know it better will no doubt say. So those are all observations from Chris in England. Of course, they would have any similar freedom here to ours. Might be a little different in places. You know, a lot of what he mentioned there, Jacob, had to do with just the physical creature comforts that we enjoy and often take for granted. It is amazing where we live. The things that we have, the physical blessings that we enjoy. I've commented many times that, and all of us, I think we would estimate that we live in modest houses, but none of us are living in palaces. But we have things that King Solomon could never have dreamed of, right? Chris from England mentioned, indoor plumbing, on-call running water,
HVAC,
central heating. Those are the kind of things that Solomon, in all his wealth, could never have imagined to enjoy, and we have them, often taken them for granted.
We'd be remiss if we didn't spend some time at the beginning of the program talking about the things that we enjoy in this country. Ani, things you think of, that you think about the blessings we enjoy in there. To me, the most important blessing that we enjoy is the ability to be able to worship and serve God in the way that we understand our study of the Bible to be the correct and proper way. There are other places in the world where that would be a challenge for us to be able to do that, but we can do that here with a relatively secure idea that nobody's going to come in and arrest us for it or come in and try to kill us for it. So that's a very valuable blessing, I believe, that to me should be the most valuable.
All right, Gary, some things you think about as well.
We need to, of course, appreciate the affluence of our country, but at the same time, that affluence creates problems for people. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, it said, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, which some reaching after have been led astray from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And in verse 17, he says, charge them that are rich in this present world that they be not high-minded, nor have their hopes set on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, that they be ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on the life, which is life indeed. So the affluence of our country blesses us greatly. We have more than most people in the world. If you just count how many pairs of shoes do we have in our closet? There are a lot of people in this world that
don't
need
my wife a pair of shoes. That's right. But that's the kind of thing that we don't even stop to count, Gary. We talk about count blessings. We don't stop to count those simple blessings that are just all around us where we live.
That's right, Greg. Our affluence has made us overlook the simple things of life. It's hard to appreciate those simple things.
And so it is a worthy exercise, maybe even on a day like the 4th of July, to stop and just be grateful for what we have and be thankful.
And Chelsea, make sure you think about it as well.
I think obviously what they just said, freedom of religion, our relative high affluence, the ease of communication, the ease of transportation. We've got lots of conveniences in this country. We should be thankful for all of those things.
All right. Well, and the pastor said that Gary mentioned that we need to go back and remember that it's God that has given us all these things we enjoy, and that he should do that as well.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I want to get to that in our follow-up points that we'll be discussing. But, you know, we should never imagine that everything we have is because of our greatness, our incredible abilities, and so forth. You know, I think that's one of the dangers we begin to stop trusting in God. We'll talk more about that as we get a little farther on. But just the very point of gratitude is something that we need to stress. You know, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. We should never cease to be grateful for the abundance that we enjoy. You know, here's a bunch of us gathered right here. We have the leisure to be able to go on a camping trip, you know. If you think not many generations ago, our ancestors, they couldn't have taken a day off. They worked literally from sunup to sundown every day just in order to have enough for the next day. The idea of taking several days off to vacation, to take a camping trip, to enjoy just downtime, it's amazing what we have.
All right. It is, and we need to make sure that we're cognizant of that, Monty, and that you don't take it for granted. And, you know, worse than even taking it for granted is complaining about things we have, so we don't have. So we've got God's blessing to us.
You know, I believe that's very correct, because I think in a lot of respects, in our freedoms that we enjoy and take so for granted, we've become a nation of whiners, that we complain about every little thing if it isn't exactly perfectly the way we want it to be or think it should be, when in generations past to our ancestors, they wouldn't have, if they had the lifestyle we've got, they couldn't have imagined complaining about anything.
All right, we've got to be careful with
that. Well, all right, we said, what do you think of the, I think I said, singularly, what do you believe to be the greatest blessing? If you had to put your finger on one, Jacob, what do you think your greatest blessing to living in America is? You guys got to pick one.
We've got to pick one.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's a hard decision.
Give me one, Monty, and maybe it'll start. Well, to me, it would have to be the freedom that we have to worship God, because beyond, if we're not worshiping God properly, then nothing else really matters, because we're not going to have heaven.
Yeah, I think so. Gary, what do you think?
I agree with Monty, but I'm thinking about some of the pitfalls of the fact that we enjoy such rigorous freedom in this country.
You know, I think that you look at the faith of the people who didn't have that freedom, and I think their faith is stronger than the faith we see in our country today.
I think so, Jacob, because of the trials they had to endure, which worked to strengthen their faith,
right,
and to help them to be patient and to learn endurance, some qualities that I think we're a little bit, we've fallen off from some of that, because we haven't had the hard times to help try our faith and test it and prove it to make it good quality. Like James talks about, for example, in James chapter 1.
All right, Joe, what do you think? Can you pick one thing that you think is our biggest blessing in America?
I think I agree with Monty and Gary, what's already been said. I want to get to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and start talking about some of our pitfalls.
All right, let's go to that right after this break.
We
got 20 guys in the room. Anybody got any thoughts?
Okay, all right.
You guys? All right.
Okay.
When we get back, let's branch off into that. What are the follow-up question was, what do you think are the greatest potential dangers of living in the United States of America? And then I asked specifically, what about some of the things that we hold as cultural values like self-reliance, majority rule, and individual rights. There'll be some other
things. You're going to get downright un-American on it here, it sounds like.
Potentially, yeah.
All right. Well, we'll get to that on the other side of the break. We're going to hand it back to Jeff at home base there and let him get us to a break, and then we'll continue on the other side. Don't go anywhere. The virtual Bible study continues right after this.
Don't touch that mouse. The virtual Bible study will be back right after this.
Hi, I'm Jack Coleman, a member of the College View Church of Christ, with a suggestion for you and your family. Why not turn off the TV on Thursday nights and gather the family around the computer for an hour of in-depth Bible study? The virtual Bible study always involves subjects of importance and interest to serious Bible students. So, why not join this in-depth Bible study every Thursday night?
Here's some quotes worth pondering. Be tender with the young, compassionate with the aged, sympathetic with the striving, long-suffering with the weak, and supportive to the strong, because someday in life you will have been all of these. Nobody can go back and start a new beginning, but anyone can start today and make a new ending. Hockey great Wayne Gretzky said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Man, wish I'd said that.
Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Colossians 3:17. Now, back to the program.
Here we go.
And we're back on the program tonight, and we appreciate you for being a part of it. We're looking forward to hearing from you at 877-381-4567. You can't do that. We're so involved, you can't do that. You have to send your email to questions@collegeview.com and in the chat room tonight as we're here. We're live on location tonight in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, and we're camping out tonight. A bunch of folks camping out, and it's been a miserable experience. God bless us with the ability to be here. That's great, but as camping trips go, it's not been all that great.
Well, it hasn't been so bad. I got to watch your mother rocking your daughter, and that was a pleasure, a great blessing to me to be able to say that.
But it's so wet. I'm noticing your watch there, guys. It's been raining so hard that your watch is
not full of water.
But hey, we're camping, and we're going to have a good time. We're talking about a blessing in America,
I got an email, so I'm actually fielding emails here, Jacob. And I got an email from Anthony back in Columbia, Tennessee, talking about our great blessing. He says, spiritually speaking, the greatest blessing has to be our freedom to worship God as he has commanded us. What a great blessing that some in the world do not enjoy. We are also blessed to be able to teach others without fear of interference from the government. Further, we're able to use our influence for good through the democratic process. I agree, Anthony. I think some of us wonder how long that may be so, but it is so right now, and we should definitely be grateful. All right, let's go to that next question. What do you think are some of the greatest potential dangers of living in the USA? We sort of broached this subject already, but let's expand upon it a little. Joel, you've got some thoughts there you want to share.
Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10, beginning. When thou hast eaten and art full, that's us here in this country, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. But verse 11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. If we can say as on a whole, our nation has forgotten the Lord. We have lived with less nations. Our nation has definitely forgotten the Lord. Verse 12, when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, we all have beautiful homes in this country, and dwell therein. When thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, maybe our silver and gold is multiplied as much as maybe some others, but and all that thou hast is multiplied. Verse 14 again warns about forgetting the Lord. Also, though, so one warning, don't forget the Lord that has blessed us. Verse 17 of Deuteronomy chapter 8, and when thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. So there's a risk that we'll forget God. There's a second risk that we'll then begin to take credit for these blessings and say, I've gotten this at the sweat of my own brow. I've worked hard. I've gotten this because of mine own doing as an individual and not of the Lord. Verse 19 then again warns, there shall be, thou do at all, forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods, serve them, worship them. I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish.
All right. All of those thoughts are great, Joel. Appreciate that.
I think you can see that mirrored in America.
Yeah, and that's right along the lines of what Chris
Christian in Atlanta has read. He says, we live in a country that offers almost unlimited potential for anyone willing to put forth the effort. This can lead us to forget we should be dependent upon God and seek His will. When we're comfortable and we think our comfort is only because of our efforts, then we put ourselves in spiritual jeopardy. However, there's an emerging trend in this country that is teaching and promoting that it is acceptable to rely on the government to provide all we need. This is equally as dangerous. I'm thankful we live here and do not want to lose our freedom, but historically the church thrives more when it's under persecution. This should serve as a warning to us to take advantage of the incredible opportunity God has given us. I think you're right on, Chris.
And along those lines, in the UK, Chris has a little bit of it. Well, he says, as an outsider, I would say you really need to be careful of the perception of arrogance, saying that you're the best in the world and saying that that the Americans are top of the pack. So maybe that's some of the self-reliance that you're talking about here. So,
I think
we were better than everyone else.
Yeah, I think he's right.
I got an email up there.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you were looking at the email as well. Yeah, Chris has warned against the perception of arrogance that might come from this. I got a couple other verses that might tie in with that, Jacob. The idea that, look at me, look what I've done. I don't need God. I'm getting this all done on my own. This idea of self-reliance that we ask about in our big question. The church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, notice what they said. The Lord said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind, naked. You see what their idea was? I am rich, increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. I could define a lot of people in America here.
That's right, Greg. If you're a history buff in the United States, and you examine the history of some of the wealthiest people that have existed in our country, you will come across that statement, well, he lifted himself by his own bootstraps. He was a self-reliant, self-made man. But if you examine the details of those people's lives, how many other people did they step on and ruin financially to get where they were because of their love of money? And generating that, the passage I read in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, charge them that are rich in this present world that they be not high-minded. There's not been a powerful nation on this earth that has not at one time or another regarded themselves as invincible, Jacob, and unable to be defeated and unable to be destroyed until God brought judgment against them and totally annihilated their nation. The history of the fall of the Roman Empire, for example, is an excellent example of that. People becoming so wrapped up in themselves and not thinking about God, not pursuing God, wrapped up in their own concerns and treating other people with injustice, taking advantage of the weak, the fatherless, the orphans, which Moses warned about so many times when he was warning the people of Israel when they were preparing to cross the Jordan and take conquest of the promised land. He warned them repeatedly about those very things.
Back to the Church of Laodicea, don't you think they were using their physical prosperity as a barometer of their standing with God? We got a lot of stuff. Everything, our life is going like it should physically, so therefore everything must be okay spiritually.
Yeah, I think people do that even today. They think that, everything's going good in my life. I'm enjoying good health. And I got a raise at my job last week. God must be happy with me because all these good things are happening. Well, that's just foolish thinking, of course, because some of the most horrible people in the world are prospering materially. And that doesn't prove that God's pleased or displeased with you. We should be grateful for our blessings, to be sure, but we can't take that as a measure of our spiritual standing before God. Anthony and Columbia is talking about this idea of self-reliance. This definitely could be a problem area. The scriptures tell us that we cannot direct our steps. We need God to sustain us. I think he's right.
I think we need to remember James chapter 1, verse 17, Bonnie, where it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from above of life. There is no variation or shadow of turning. Our blessing comes from God, Bonnie. It's not because of any merit that you have or the virtue that you may have. Your blessings come as a result of God being gracious towards you.
You know, the Bible is pretty clear on that teaching. It's not that I've done really great for myself. There's a lot of people that teach this health and wealth doctrine today that you just be a really good person and do what God gives you, then you're going to be blessed, prosper financially. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches us. And we get that notion that we've accomplished all this ourselves when we don't have, we quite often fail to realize or fail to remember that we couldn't do anything if God didn't bless us with the abilities to do these things. So, you know, I didn't create myself. God created us. And so without that, we wouldn't be here doing anything.
All right. Jack in the chat room, I think our greatest potential is our lack of Bible knowledge and how to deal with the social ills of this world. It's the result of our materialism. We become too busy with ourselves and our pursuits to the exclusion of the pursuit of knowledge. Homosexuality, adultery, and divorce are things which will tear us up if we're not teaching all these things and learning how to use our Bible to confront these issues. Well, that's another danger, I think, if you didn't have it in your list, Dad. But the idea that we get too prosperous, that we don't have time for spiritual education. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's right. I heard a saying the other day, Jacob, that even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, we get so consumed with pursuing the things in day-to-day life, the material benefits that it might provide for us, that we do neglect what's really most important.
All right.
Bonnie, any thoughts?
Well, I had one, but it just slipped.
Okay. Anybody else? Or Joel's got a thought.
Along those lines? Along those lines there, Luke chapter 12, verse 15. For a man's life is not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Back to the comment that Jack made, pursuing all of our monetary gain, we lose sight of the things that are most important, and we lose sight of our ability to act adequately and properly defend the truth of God.
Gary, the prosperous versus the poor, who's typically going to be the one that has the greater faith? The rich or the poor person, in your experience, tend to be the more interested in God's influence?
A person can be very wealthy. A person can be very wealthy. A person can be very wealthy and serve God at the same time. He can be rich in good works. Abraham was a rich, rich man. He served God faithfully all the days of his life. He is a model of faith for us to look at and to challenge ourselves to equal that kind of faith. But he had the dedication for God and following God's instructions that was so vital to keep his wealth from becoming a priority in his life and ruining his spiritual life, destroying his faith, and being swept away with the world.
All right. I think you're right, Gary. I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Okay. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Notice that no flesh should glory in his presence.
I was looking at James chapter 2, verse 5. Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? I think we see the greater danger and greater challenge towards those who are rich versus those who are poor. And I think you've thrown that up. Dad, you've been to countries where people have nothing practically and much more interest in God.
That's right. And the Bible tells us that is the case, that material prosperity tends to make us forget about God. Joel read us warnings that Moses gave to the Israelites, 3,000 years ago almost. And so, longer than 3,000. So it's a real danger, and we're foolish if we don't
keep our eyes open to that.
But the solution is not to get rid of all your physical possessions so that you're not rich. If Paul didn't give that instruction for the rich, as you mentioned there in 1 Peter chapter 6, Gary, the instruction, though, is be on guard and be careful because there is a unique situation.
But Jesus did say that anything that would become a hindrance to us, we ought to be willing to forsake. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 29, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee, for it's profitable for thee one of thy members to perish, not thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it's profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, not thy whole body should be cast into hell. So we'd be better off to not we'd be better off to do without some of our prosperity if it became a threat to us.
All right. We're going to take a break, and we'll hand it back to Jeff again. We'll get this week's bullet point, and then we'll come back on the other side. We'll get your comments. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. 87, or no, questions at collegeview.com.
No, wait, get us tonight.
Or in the chat. Or in the chat. And we'll take it back to Jeff, and Jeff will give us an audible signal when he's ready. I think we're down in the chat room, Jeff, so give us an audible signal when you're ready. We'll come back on the other side. Don't go anywhere. The Verse Bible Study continues right after this.
These guys are doing all of the talking. We need to hear from you. Call in now. The virtual Bible study continues right after this.
This is Greg Gwynn with this week's bullet point. A bulletin from a denominational church included notices about a wide variety of social activities. These included a ladies' breakfast, quarterly fellowship for seniors, an after-school club for youths, a Christmas program, youth and teen group meetings, and a 60th wedding anniversary reception. For those of us who are not familiar with such things, the listing of social and recreational activities may seem incredible, but this list would pale by comparison to some of the more liberal denominations. Also in the bulletin were the latest attendance numbers. The Sunday morning worship boasted 201 present, but the Sunday evening worship had only 63. A poor record, wouldn't you say? Less than a third of those who attended Sunday morning returned for the evening service. We have a simple point to make. For years now, most of the denominations have stressed the importance of secular appeals to draw people to their assemblies. Some of our own brethren have been foolish enough to follow this course. Look at the results. There's an apparent lack of genuine commitment on the part of those who have been thus drawn by the secular appeals. The fact is that when men abandon the power of the gospel, Romans 1:16, in favor of these methods, they are destined to fail. The Church of our Lord simply cannot compete effectively in the entertainment business, but of course the Lord never intended it to. Those who are faithful will continue to follow God's wisdom in making the gospel the basis of our appeal to the lost. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. That's this week's bullet point. Think about it.
I am Nestor Sanchez from Arica, Chile, in South America, and I love to listen to the virtual Bible study. And this moment, I invite you to participate in this program, too. Gracias.
A streaming Bible study. Why didn't I think of that? Now back to the guys.
Hey, we're back on the Virtual Bible Study tonight. We appreciate you for joining us on the July 4th edition as we're live from a campground tonight in Morrisburg, Tennessee. We appreciate Jeff for being back at the controls and making it possible for us to get on the air tonight. We're reminded this program is brought to you by the College Free Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. Find out more about us by visiting our website at thevirtualbiblestudy.com. If you have any questions about anything you've heard on our program or you'd like more information about what we believe we practice, we'd love to hear some questions at collegeview.com. It's the way you get in touch with us tonight. We're talking about living in America and some of the challenges we face in America. We're having a roundtable discussion tonight. With a bunch of campers, no video tonight, and that is a blessing that you can
You don't want to see us tonight.
Rough with your guys here.
We've been in a muddy mess all day.
And it's not
rain.
Your hair. It's not your hair, Tom.
Well, that's my hat. Go camp. Okay. And thanks again to Jeff for being willing to man the board back at the church building. And, Jeff is planning to leave us, go off to college. We're thinking about not letting him do it.
That's right. I've been in touch with the president of the university, and I'm trying to get his admission for both.
Okay. All right. So, when we're talking about some of the things that we enjoy that can be potential dangers to us, one of the things that I suggest might be a problem is our very insane cultural value of majority rule that I have as much say as anybody else. And when you put everybody together, it's what the majority of people want is what should be done. I mean, we really hold to that here. We think that is the way that the government ought to be run. And we actually get pretty upset when it's not that way. I don't know about our listeners, but I think several of us here assembled in this room tonight, as we're talking about, we've talked before, it's quite frustrating when we send congressmen and senators off to Washington, D.C., and then they vote against the will of the people who elected them. We think we should have a say, and majority rules should be the norm, and it doesn't always happen that way, but that's the way it's supposed to work in our country. Now, since we believe that so strongly, at least in the way our government is to be run, do you see that it could be a danger to us spiritually?
Yeah, I think the idea is that we begin to think is, well, I got to say it. You know, my voice is as good as anybody else's, and it maybe even goes, I should say, my voice is as good as God's.
Well, I think that's the case.
Yeah. In the church, God's probably one among other, I mean, especially with elders, you know, I think you've seen that where, Joe Member thinks that he's got just as much say as the elders have, helping come up front. But I think it makes it escalating to how we do our fellowship with God.
I think that's right. No, we're not. I rule myself. I have a voice. I get to choose the way I think things should be. But then we, the church is not a democracy. And we don't have a voice in running things. We're to submit.
You know, really, when we get down to it, the church is not a democracy. It's a theocracy, so to speak, I guess. Or you might even look at it as a dictatorship. Because God's the one, he's in charge. He's the head of the government of the church. He makes all the rules, and he absolutely, really, truly doesn't care what our opinion is about it, other than to the fact that we need to conform our opinion to match up with his. Because he doesn't need us in order to be God. He was already there before we were created, and if we was to become instantly no more, he would still be there and would subsist just fine without
us. That's something we miss out on in America, is the idea that, that Christ is king. God uses that imagery as he's describing Jesus. He's going to reign on David's throne, and people who had lived in under a system like that, they would be able to draw that imagery. We don't have that at our disposal as readily. And so we may be missing out on something. So, Gary.
Yes, in the letter to the Ephesians from the Apostle Paul in chapter 5, in verse 23, Christ is also the head of the church, being himself the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. But he's illustrating the church and how the church is to be subject to Christ. And that calls upon us to have the right sort of attitude in mind. It's very difficult sometimes in a free country where we tout the benefits of living in a democracy and more majority rule and that sort of thing. So sometimes it's difficult for us in America to, as Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 2, beginning in verse 3, do nothing through faction or through vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, each counting other better than himself, not looking each of you to his own things, but each of you also to the things of others. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's difficult for us to do that sometimes.
All right. I think you're right, Gary.
We got some emails here, one from Anthony. Anthony says we should be looking to the absolute truth of God's word, and at the congregational level, we must submit to the elders, not on majority rule. That it makes it harder for us to comply with these principles.
All right, and Chris in Atlanta says, when our lawmakers legalize certain things, some forget that God's law supersedes man's law. Our lawmakers have legalized abortion. Some states recognize gay marriage. Some legalize marijuana. Just because it's legal doesn't mean it's acceptable for a Christian. I would agree with those observations. Let's see here.
Well, first in the UK, I think, says left it all in one there.
Okay.
All right, let's change course a little bit before our break. In the chat room, Danny says, we were talking about prosperity and how it can hinder our spirituality. Danny says there's another end to this spectrum. Myself and many other younger Americans are finding that to simply keep food on the table, clothes on the kids, and access to the doctor through
create a monopoly on our time. It's not that we're accumulating wealth, we're just trying to keep things going. Or for college kids, they're studying for hours and attending endless classes in order to make it through with good grades to get a decent job, which is getting harder to find also. And he goes on and adds, it's not inhibiting me from worshiping or studying for myself, but I am hard-pressed to find any time to study with non-Christian friends. What about that, idea of Jenny says, pressures of this life, especially for a young person, and maybe a young person with a family, making it difficult on their job?
Well, obviously, it's a balancing act. We have a number of priorities that we're pursuing. Teaching the law should be a priority for all of us as Christians, but providing for my family is also a necessity. There are other requirements as well, so it all has to be balanced. And I think we pray for wisdom in making those decisions and try to keep everything prioritized as it ought to be. I would agree with Danny. It's a challenge for young people and old people alike. I think that's certainly an area where, as James 1:5 says, we should pray for wisdom. Making application, what we know to do is right.
All right, did you have any questions?
Well, I understand what Danny's saying, but I think he's just getting a sort of a beginning on that, because as we get older, maybe our children are grown and gone out of the home, but there's still other things that come up to interfere with our teaching the law, or other aspects of our worship to God. Quite often, maybe it might be health issues that we didn't deal with when we were younger.
Or your parents.
We have to deal with something like for ailing family members, we have to provide help for those. So it doesn't matter what point in our life we are, we still have those things that want to interfere with our worship and our serving God properly, and we still have the challenge of establishing the proper priorities and then pursuing.
That's the word I think I was looking for there, prioritization. Hearing your thoughts?
Yes. I think that's true, Monty. And the person is my... We shouldn't live under unrealistic expectations. We have this balancing act, and we have to take advantage of the opportunities that come our way to do good to other people, to teach them as we have the opportunity to do. And if we look for those opportunities and take advantage of them, they'll come. But it's unrealistic to expect that one person might create convert an entire community, for example. But people who are sensitive to their role as Christians, to be lights in the world, to teach other people as they have responsibility, these things conscientiously bother them about how much do I need to be doing this, and am I to neglect some other responsibility in order to do it?
I think that's right. I'm glad that Danny and other young Christians have that sensitivity. That's a good thing. But I'm like Gary, I don't think we need to be beating ourselves up when we're trying to do the best we can. We don't have to beat ourselves up. I think God knows what we're dealing with. He loves us when we do well. He blesses us as we're trying. And then we just keep striving to do more.
And a lot of our responsibility becomes engaged by our ability. And God will hold us accountable based upon our ability. So if you've got the gravy job where you've got all this free time, then I think God's going to hold you accountable.
You have more opportunity.
Yeah.
Therefore, you have greater accountability.
All right. That's right. Okay. Let's go ahead and take one more break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about individual rights. What do you think? What are you talking about?
Well, let's see. Could the fact that we have individual rights be a detriment to us spiritually?
All right.
And then we also, maybe just at the end, we'll try to contrast this physical nation we live in with the eternal spiritual kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
We're going to give it back to Jeff one more time. We'll take it to take a break, and then we'll go to the top of the hour. Stay tuned. The first Bible study will be back right after this.
Enjoying the virtual Bible study? Email a friend during this break and tell them to join in on the discussion. There's more exciting Bible study after this commercial.
I'm Greg Gwynn, a host of the Virtual Bible Study. Thanks for joining us for tonight's program. The Virtual Bible Study is presented weekly by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. Each week on the Virtual Bible Study, we simply engage in the study of God's Word in an effort to better understand it, better understand how God views us, and better understand what He wants from us in our lives. We're not studying any creeds. We're not studying any books written by men. We're just studying the Bible. And we're trying to study the Bible alone without any of our opinions or wisdom mixed in. We're only interested in what our Creator has revealed to us in His Word. We realize that we're fallible and cannot direct our own steps. As a result, what we think or feel doesn't really matter. All that matters is what God has said. So that's what the Virtual Bible Study is all about. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Thanks again for joining us tonight, and we'll hope you'll make plans to join us every Thursday night for the Virtual Bible Study. We're tracking the trends on the Virtual Bible Study. In an effort to eliminate all known scriptural references to homosexuality being sinful, a new gay-friendly Bible has been released. It's called the Queen James Version. We're not making that up. The Queen James Version features a rainbow homosexual cross on its cover and makes changes to scripture passages it feels have been wrongly construed to condemn homosexuality. That information is via the Christian News. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 6, beginning verse 9, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God."
Quit checking your email. The commercials are over and the Virtual Bible Study is ready to roll. Take it away, guys.
And we're back on the program tonight. We appreciate you for joining us on the 4th of July, 2013. As we talk about America, it seems like the right thing to do to talk about America, talk about our blessings of living in the United States, and also consider some dangers that are associated with those blessings. The majority rule is a good thing in government. We believe it's not necessarily God, the God-given mandate of how government.
Yeah, we should write it that the democratic government is a God-ordained necessity.
Right, God is fine with a monarchy, and as far as that's concerned, and God may even be okay with a dictatorship under certain circumstances. But given it the right way, we're not talking about politics on the program, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. But it can be bad when it infiltrates our thinking. Changes the way that we view ourselves, relationship with God, and relationship with others. And you also wanted to talk about individual rights.
I suggest one of the other things that could become a curse to us living in America is our cultural value of individual rights. I have freedom. I can do as I please.
And yet, not necessarily a bad thing.
No.
In and of itself, in politics and in society, but it can infiltrate our thinking.
Chris in Atlanta says, "We have many rights and personal liberties in the USA, for which I'm grateful. However, as stated previously, just because it's legal and my right to do it, it is my right to do it, does not mean it's acceptable in God's eyes." We should, I think that's a good point. We should never begin to imagine just because it's allowed culturally that makes it right spiritually. And I'm trying to see.
We should be humble people that readily give up our rights and comforts for the needs and benefits of others. We are commanded to esteem others more highly than ourselves, and again to submit to one another. This requires us to give up our individual rights sometimes. Monty, is Anthony right there that I don't necessarily have rights all the time?
Well, even though we might have the rights all the time, we also have the responsibility that goes along with those rights. Just because I have the right to freedom of speech, I have to be responsible to speak properly. Just because I have the right to free speech doesn't mean I can say anything. I don't have the right to be rude to other people. I don't have the right to use bad language and things like that. I still have a responsibility to use that freedom of speech properly. We talked a lot about our freedom of expression and people in our country in the last decade or so have got to when they do all sorts of vile things in the name of freedom of expression. So just because I have the right to express myself doesn't mean I have the right to have to use that opinion poorly and express it in a really terrible way.
You know, I think it's been pointed out a lot of times that our founding fathers, when they gave us the freedom of speech, they never envisioned that it would be taken to the limit that some people have taken it, where all kind of vile stuff is being propagated. I don't think that's what they intended. It's certainly what God intended. So we shouldn't let that idea that I have a right, I can say what I want, I can do what I want. We shouldn't let that right be taken to an extreme that would cause mine what God would have us to do.
Our ultimate responsibility with our freedoms is to serve God, to or what I desire is irrelevant if we don't put God first. And that's how our freedom should be used, is responsibly and in putting God first. I think that's right.
Any other thoughts, guys?
Okay. Sin is a reproach to any nation. And Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 24, let no man seek his own, but each his neighbor's good. So we have that responsibility, and that governs how we speak to people and what we say. I heard it illustrated one time, do I have the right to stand up in a crowded theater and yell, fire, fire, and create a panic where people are trampled to death and that sort of thing.
So there's limits to this idea of individualism and individual rights. Even from a governmental or a common sense standpoint, certainly from a God-ordained standpoint, there are limits to what we can do as individuals, and we should. And the whole business is that we must submit to God and live His will in our lives. Realize, of course, that He always did all those things for our good.
All right. So, in our relationship to God, the idea of individual rights does not enter into the equation. I think it also has, though, data to agree that it has implications to us in our association and our dealings with other people.
Go ahead. I'm not sure what.
Well, our individual rights. I mean, I have a right. Paul says in Romans chapter 14, you have a right to do certain things that are not offensive in and of themselves, but if they offend someone else, your individual right goes out the window. Paul says in Romans chapter 14, verse 19, therefore let us pursue the things which make for peace, the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but if it is evil for the man to eat this, which offends. Paul said, you know, there are certain things you have a right to do, but if it's going to offend someone else, you better.
Well, I understand the word offend, that would lead them into the sinful conduct. Philippians 2, verse 3, beginning in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let not every man look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
All right.
Gary,
and that was the context of the passage that I mentioned, 1 Corinthians 10, and verse 24, let no man seek his own good, but each his neighbor's good. He's talking about things that are lawful, but they may not be expedient. And things may be lawful, but they may not edify. And he closes out that section by saying that I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, that they may be saved. Be imitators of me, even as I also am Christ.
In Romans, First Corinthians chapter 8, verse 13, wherefore if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. All right, eat meat. It was this individual right. But if it caused another brother to stumble, he wasn't going to do it. He wasn't going to touch me in order to serve his brother.
All right. Well, Jacob, we've talked about a lot of things. We've got a lot of great things to enjoy, blessings to be grateful for living in America. We've talked, hopefully, about some of the things that can be dangerous for us to be on guard about. We've got to be careful. Our blessings can become curses to us. As someone said once, you can drown in a tub of butter.
Yeah.
We are in a tub of butter, but you might drown in that tub of butter if you're not careful. So we do have to be careful. Well, we just got a couple minutes left, Jacob. What do you fellows see? Our emailers didn't really pick up on the question. Maybe the question is too big. What do you see as some of the contrast between this physical nation we live in and the spiritual kingdom of Christ? Monty, any thoughts along those lines?
Well, as I think about that, we live in a very prosperous nation. There's even been people when we talk to them sometimes and ask them, don't you want to go to heaven? They say, well, what's wrong with Tennessee? We have it so good here, but what we have to understand is that when we think about that, when we think about heaven, well, heaven is an even better place, and it's eternal. If we get there, we don't have to worry about our camper roof leaking or whatever, because we
never
the presence of God.
Never go for place to think we've got so good here, we're not looking for
it. We've got it really good here in this nation, but it's going to be better.
I remember a story a fellow told, a guy was describing his ideal home site. He wanted, 100 acres. He wanted there to be a pond with a hill where you could build a house over with the pond and the woods behind it. he drew a real picture of the place he'd love to have. The other guy said, I would not want a place like that. And he said, what do you mean you wouldn't want a place like that? He said, if I had a place like that, he said, it'd be hard for me to remember this world is not my home.
Yeah.
And that's what we got to be careful about.
Yeah, we put too much emphasis on the physical. Yeah. And when we think about it, when we contrast the physical year of comparison with the heaven, which is eternal, it's where our goal needs to be.
Exactly right there.
Like the old brother in Christ that used to pray, Greg, actually, when leading in public prayer, he would say, Lord, give us some hard times.
Yeah.
And there's a very good reason for that prayer.
I think you're right. In fact, you're right. Anybody else? Anybody else? Hebrews 12:28 says, wherefore we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. As great as America is, Jacob, and the blessings that we enjoy here, the spiritual kingdom of Christ far supersedes it. It's eternal. It's a kingdom that will never be moved, cannot be moved. I think we could imagine a time when the United States of America will no longer exist. If time goes on long enough, we can almost practically guarantee that this nation will cease to exist as it presently does. That's been the history of nations throughout the history of all time. But the kingdom of Christ will endure. Even that, just that simple observation should say, which one therefore should be most important to us?
There are a large number of Americans that would disagree with you strongly about that, Greg. The greatest nation on earth, the most powerful nation on earth, nobody can beat us.
Yeah, but I think I'm sure you would agree with me that this guy is confident.
Excellent point.
Greg. Yeah, and you know, truthfully, when we see some of the rather horrible things that are going on in our country and some of the unrighteousness that is abounding, God never allowed previous nations to continue indefinitely when he always brought his judgment against them, and we have to believe that God will bring his judgment against this country if we continue in the immoral course we follow.
Well, you know, the times are shocking around us, and it can be depressing, but if any blessing can come from it, it does remind us that this world is not our home, that we're headed for a better country. As you mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, that those who have been of faith desired a better country, and that's specifically the goal. All right, quickly in the chat room, Jack says, if our government was governed by God's law, we wouldn't have issues. If it's not, we must speak out and do all we can to make the world by God's will. Thank you for that, Jack. We agree. Danny says, personal liberties being preserved by the government in this society are essential for us to continue to worship that God as we see fit. As the government encroaches on that right, Christians will endure more scrutiny in regards to our worship. We want free speech to continue in order for us to be able to preach God's word. As we know we should. Somebody around us may misuse these, and that is unfortunate, but we have God's law governing us. The way I see it, we want government leaving us alone in order to not interfere with that law, which we know will always supersede God's law. So appreciate those comments from Jack and from Danny. I appreciate our listeners joining us on the 4th of July.
Yeah, 4th of July, we're in the campground at Davy Crockett Big Park in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. Appreciate all these folks who joined us, fellow campers tonight, also fellow participants on the Virtual Bible Study. Thanks, man, for being here.
Thank you guys for your comments.
Thanks for letting us be
on the lake, Gary and Joel.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you for being here. And we appreciate you for listening.
Thanks again to Jeff for running the show for
us. Thank you to Jeff. Jeff took time from his holiday tonight to help us out. Appreciate that, Jeff. And appreciate your time tonight.
Thanks, Jacob.
Thank you for listening to the program. Hope you benefit from our study and discussion of God's Word. We hope you make plans to be back here this time next week for another edition of the Virtual Bible Study. And in the meantime, we encourage you to live God first in your life. Study His inspired Word of the Bible. Love to find every day. So never regret.
Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study, brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the Virtual Bible Study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.